Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering, church. I'll get into the notes. I didn't want to prophesy. I just felt led to do that. It's called inspired prophecy. I know it's a bit, time is almost finished, so. But give me a few minutes. Can you give me a few minutes? La Roskete. And I won't be long. I'll really be quick. I believe that you are a church that is taught and that is being taught. You're taking the notes home. But this note, can everybody say with me, sonship? These notes are very powerful. This teaching I'm going to share this morning is very powerful. You know, let me just say this. The key characteristic of a father is not his age. It is his ability to give after his own kind. I'm going to say it again. The key characteristics of a father is not his age, but it is his ability to give after his own kind. Benny can get pregnant now, and he's 17 years old. Not now, you can't get pregnant. Your wife can get pregnant, or a girlfriend can get pregnant. But listen, you can become a father at the age of 17. And because there's another father at the age of 45 also getting a child at the same place, you are exactly at the same place of experience. Are you guys with me? So age limit, there is no age limit to fatherhood. But there's an age, but fatherhood comes when you have the ability to give birth of your own kind. So I always tell my team, I'll say, my spirit has to come upon them. And my spirit comes upon them. Then I'll tell them, bring that one close, bring that one close. Do this, do that, so that my spirit can come upon them. When my spirit comes upon them, their thinking changes. Their makeup changes. God said to Moses, Moses, take off your spirit and put it on 70 elders of the others so that they can help you build this great work. This work we are building here right now is not going to be built on a man alone with me standing on this pulpit. It's going to be built by my spirit and God's spirit being put upon the people. And you sitting in the chairs and the pews, taking the vision and advancing the kingdom of God going forward. Come on, you guys with me. I prophesy, listen, that Centurion and the principality of Centurion is coming down. But that ECs, that a people of God who knows their identity, a people of God who knows who they are in Christ, a people of God who knows that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is on the inside of them. I'm here to prophesy to you that the lion is about to roar in the city of Centurion. Keep us hidden. Keep us hidden. Listen, I want to stay hidden until a certain time. It's always the best tactic to do. Amen. Sound in the back working there. Just go test the sound in the back. Listen. So just stay. The message this morning is really just to teach you patience. Just stay with us. I know what is coming. I live my life by divine design. By the age of 20, 19 years old, I knew exactly what will happen my whole life. I knew at the age of 30, this will happen. I knew at the age of 33, this will happen. I knew at the age of 35, this will happen. I knew at the age of 40, this will happen. I knew at the age of 60, this will happen. I live my life by divine design. So, I think we must make Gerard more unanointed so that he doesn't steal my thunder. I just want to keep worshiping with him. Amen. I think he must go watch some movies or something. I told him to gel his hair for the TV. They're messing up our shots here. And don't worry, you're not going to be on as in like a church. It's a different type of thing we're doing. I know there's some people that have a problem. If you don't have a problem, that's great. But if you do, but it's reaching a certain generation and certain areas of the globe that God has been showing me. I always told my team, God showed me Asia, although we have no open door into Asia. Now we'll get into Asia. Say with me, where are the true sons in the house? Okay, I'm going to read through this message, guys. I want to not be long, but I want you to get this. Not going to go off the notes a little bit, but not because I want to stay with this. I want you to catch this. Listen, the proof of fatherhood is in the children that are being produced. So if I want to see somebody who is a father, the proof that they are a father is to see where are their children. Their children will act like them, will behave like them, will think like them, will put cologne. My daughter will want to put our cologne on and does everything that I'm doing. That's proof of fatherhood. Are you guys with me? You know, Elijah was a good father. Elisha was a bad father. Elijah was a good father because he gave his mantle. He had a successor. Elisha was a bad father because he had no successor. Are you guys with me? So he was a good son, but a bad father. Now, usually good sons become good fathers. But do you know that Elisha, even after he got the mantle, he was so cocky that some children came out and mocked him. And he says, they'll be cursed. And a bear came out and ate them up. And do you know God did nothing about it? God did nothing. God is a dictator, not a Democrat. Amen. What a Republican. You study your Bible. God says to Moses, kill the whole nation. That's dictatorship. So, God did nothing about that. That blew me away. Children gets eaten by bears and the prophet is standing there. You wanted to say, I have no hair. And God does nothing and still uses him and still does double more than what Elijah did. Why? Grace. Say with me, grace. Measures of grace. People don't understand measures of grace. They want to come here into this church and they want to judge me by a measure of grace. They want to leave. If I can give you advice as a church, as a pastor, leave those guys alone. Okay? I don't care if they have 10 women. Leave them alone. Others will deal with it. Amen? It's grace. God has certain measures of grace. It's just like that. When you deal with them because you're right and they're wrong, you'll get into trouble. Moses and Miriam. I don't know why I'm sharing this. Maybe we'll just listen. Moses and Miriam and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron said, is Moses the only one that can hear from God? Can we also not hear from God? Yes, you can. Well, not really in that time, but let's take it this time. Yes, you can, but he's the chosen one. And the Bible says the most scariest words. It says, and the Lord heard it. I'm going to say it again. It says, and the Lord heard it. They were saying it secretly. God calls them all, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, into a meeting. He doesn't even address Moses on his sin. Because you see, Moses had a sin in those days. He married an Ethiopian woman. He was not allowed to marry across culture and etc. He was marrying an Ethiopian woman. God did not even address it. He didn't even look at it. He turned to Miriam and Aaron and he says, how dare you speak against a prophet? A prophet who does not only have dreams and see things in dark sayings, but a prophet that I speak face to face. How dare you speak against him? And he was cursed with leprosy, right? Boils and leprosy. And Moses had to go ask and beg God for them to be released of that sickness. Why? Because they don't understand graces. People of God get themselves into trouble by speaking against other men of God. I did that as well. I met this one man, one of my mentors, he passed away. Before I met him, I saw him on the internet and I was like, can God really use this guy? And I was like, no man, we're the only anointed ones. Until I met him 3 weeks later and took me into his house and I thought, my God, I've never experienced the anointing like this. I'm just sitting in the lounge and the glory of God is falling. I'm just walking in a church of 10,000. The glory of God is falling all over. And I had to repent. I had to go to my room and say, God, I repent for even thinking that. And from that moment, I made a decision. I just don't speak against men of God. Because God chooses whom he anoints. Are you guys with me? So let's get into sonship. Say with me, sonship. We are the true sons in the house. Let's go through these notes, guys. Ephesians chapter number 2. verse number 19. Let me just say this. Listen, it takes love to bring up a people and to give birth to a people. Today, we're speaking about sonship. Give me 15 minutes, we're done, okay? So, today we're speaking about sonship. It takes 15 minutes. It takes great love and pressure to give birth. It takes pressure to birth Chris. I mean, the era of it, he would sin 3 weeks, three years ago, so much. Eventually, I found a solution, a result, it got better. Then he did this. And then just when I thought, it's perfect, like it's good. And then he goes and do another thing. It takes great pressure as a father to do it. Listen, this is such important stuff. I don't know if you're not ready for it, if that's why the Holy Spirit is taking me away. Ephesians 2 verse 19, now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and belong in God's household. Say with me, household, with every other Christian. This morning, I want to share with you the importance and benefits and qualities of being a true son in the house. Unfortunately, this is a truth which very few believers apply fully, resulting in them losing out on spiritual impartation. People lose out on this, so they lose spiritual impartation and they lose a great inheritance. Are you guys with me? Inheritance goes to sons, not to slaves. Inheritance goes to sons, not to church members. I was sitting in front of Pastor Mark when he was sending me out into ministry. And he said, Leon, what about money? What are you going to do? I said, all I need is one thing. I need you to lay your hand on me, bless me, and give me my inheritance. I said, that's all I need. Money will follow me. He laid his hands on me, he blessed me, and money followed me. It's an inheritance. It's a spiritual thing. Only when I speak, eh? So listen, I want to read you this. There was a scientific study done using 300 children. The study was concluded when the children celebrated their 25th birthday. Half of the 300 children were raised by their mothers. The other half were raised by their fathers. The final conclusion derived by this study was that the children who grew up with their fathers developed a greater sense of identity, whereby they were able to feel sure of who they are. There were no evidence they had no encounter problems with the police as who they grew up with. The mothers. This does not mean that it is better to grow up with the father and the mother, even though it does. However, the result of this study revealed that fathers give their children something that a mother cannot give them, and that is identity. Are you guys with me? Most of the problems in gangster areas is because of a lack of fathers. If you've ever walked in a gangster area, and I have, from Westbury to Cape Town to Durban, you would see if you go to the flats, and I would minister to the families in Cape Flats, or it would be in Durban by Chatsworth, or you would only see mothers, no fathers. Are you guys with me? So I wrote the first point, revelation of a true father. God's plan is to restore all things, including, not everybody's a father, by the way. I include the restoration of the paternal role of its original position. I'm going to skip this. It just speaks of God wants headship back into the body of Christ. Who is a father? Romans 8 verse 15 says, for if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The word Abba in Aramaic is translated as, say with me, Daddy. I believe tonight something powerful is going to come in. Apart from what I said earlier, tonight many in this place is going to experience the love of a father. Listen, when I encountered the love of a father, it was like liquid love touching my heart, and it changed everything about me. All the pains and the hurts of my earthly father disappeared, and my heavenly father enveloped me. But it is called a supernatural encounter with the love of God, with the love of his father. When you encounter that, your identity has changed. When you encounter that, everything has changed. Come on, are you guys with me? Dad, say with me, Daddy. Many has a trouble saying Daddy. Say with me, Daddy. It describes a son who cries out for his father while sitting on his lap. The Aramaic translation is used to express the close and intimate relationship between a father and a son. The word Abba in the Greek is pater, which indicates respect and reverence, but it also speaks of intimacy. Are you guys with me? So it speaks of a concept of intimacy, and it speaks of reverence and fear. I'm intimate with my people. I can be friends with them. But then there's also a realm where I can walk in and I can make them fear. Not an ungodly fear, in a reverential fear. Meaning that if I walk in, or if I'm at a place where they no longer are scared, in a way of a reverential fear, something is wrong. We've gone into familiarity, cuts off the anointing, and we ain't gonna go further. God is bringing in a restoration of the Father in the body of Christ, the apostolic anointing that can cause churches to become big again, plant out and impart. Many big churches has been planted in the 80s, 70s, 80s. But the thing is, they were planted, many of them were planted with a pastoral or a teaching gift, never an apostolic gift. So as a result, you will see many churches now passing on, men of God passing on, and they could never impart or raise up sons. Are you guys with me? You'll still see it in the near future. They have no son to give a legacy over to because they raised nobody up. They raised up employees. And the word father, pater in the Greek, it means this. It means a source, a protector, one who provides, who brings nourishment, provider, a progenitor, an initiator, founder, author, creator, teacher, leader, cultivator, general, transmitter, trainer, sustainer, defender, and one who carries the burden. It also refers to a stabilizer, endorser, encourager, governor, mentor, and a role model. Each of these words signifies and describes the qualities and functions that exist in our Heavenly Father and also spiritual fathers when we get to that. Now let me just touch on spiritual fathers. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15 there, I want you to read this with me. He says, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, he actually said, if you were to have 10,000 teachers in Christ, he was being sarcastic. You have all these teachers, that's what he's basically saying. He says, but you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. I became your father through the gospel. That word for became means that I gave birth. Say with me, gave birth. Paul gave birth to them in the gospel. I give birth to people here. They carry my DNA. They carry my spirit. We go through to the next paragraph. It says, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father of the gospel. It means I gave birth to you. Now read in your other New King James translation. I gave birth to you. There's a birthing process that takes place. I wrote that because Paul had founded the church by the leading and guidance of the Spirit, he had a special fatherly role in the life of the people. We see that Paul had sent Timothy ahead of his coming to prepare them for this future event. On many occasions, we see that Paul refers to Timothy as his beloved and true son in the Lord, even though he had not personally led Timothy to the Lord. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. In this awesome household, you will find that God places fathers in its midst to take care of the believers. I love them, to nurture them, to protect them, to provide for them spiritually and discipline them. I can't always be nice with Chris or Tian or Marie or Stefan or Eckhart or the team that is around us. And as we're developing more, you know, a pastor, guys, stand up, Chris. A pastor will be like, let's say I walk past you and I don't greet you and I'm a pastor. And he says, pastor, you didn't greet me. I'm so sorry. My brother, I love you. The Lord loves you, brother. I see great things for you, brother. I'll be a pastor. I'm going to do my best to be a pastor, yeah. But there'll be many pastors in the church, okay? I'll do my best to be a pastor. I just want to encourage you, my brother. You know, that's a pastor. That's his job. How have you been? I haven't seen you in Sunday in church. Are you okay? You know? We love you here. You know this is your home. You know, are you okay? They give you that look in the eyes, you know. Are you okay? That's a pastor. You need that. An apostle or a prophet would do this. And he would come to me and I'm like, oh, whatever. And I'll just carry on. Because that's not my job. And then he does it again. Then I have to give him a hiding. Because a pastor is a mother. An apostle and a prophet is a father. Mothers give hugs. Apostles and fathers, apostles and prophets gives hidings. A father gives hidings. Come on, are you guys with me? So we need both. Paul says, must I come with love or with a rod? I give both. We give both to bring up a mature people. Disciplined, mature. A believer has to be disciplined. Listen, let's go to a revelation of true sonship. Next page there. Almost finished. Many believers complain and ask. You'll hear me. I'll say from page one. Almost finished. Okay. It's just to irritate you. It's only this morning that we're going on so late. Okay. So just please stay with us. And tonight it'll be fireworks. So revelation of a true son. Many believers complain and ask questions like, where are the true spiritual fathers? I personally believe that we should rather ask the question, where are the true sons in the house? Many people want the covenantal benefits of sonship, but they do not fulfill their part as required of true sons. Paul called Timothy a true son. He said to Timothy, a true son. The word true there, I want you to just read there. It is kinesios. Kinesios in the Greek. This word in the Greek, kinesios, it means to be genuine. To be legitimate, to not be spurious, to be true, to be sincere. It is a son that is genuine and legitimate. You know that I can take the son and I can say, go preach in that church. I know he will carry my DNA. He'll carry my lifestyle. He'll carry my way of thinking. He'll carry my behavior. He'll carry, why? Because he's a genuine, true son. Now, if there are true sons, there are also false sons. Also dangerous son. So, this speaks of a son who is genuine, true, loyal, sincere, legitimate. In Scripture, I want us to focus on this. Listen here. Scripture speaks there of six Greek words as we as believers grow up. From the day we get saved to when we become fully mature as a father. Are you guys with me? I want you to stay this and you can use this as a barometer type thing to see where, benchmark, if I can say it like that, to see where you are at. The first stage of a son, of a child, is in the Greek word brephos. It's an unborn infant. This literally means childhood, creature, child, baby, still in a mother's womb, or a newborn who breastfeeds. It's somebody that just got born. How many of you know that I cannot, if Larina just gets born today, I cannot give her steak tomorrow. She'll die. So I cannot speak about dreams and vision. Are you guys with me? But now, you know, she has to grow. So white, now she would, I'm using you as an example. You have to use pure milk, unadulterated milk, the pure milk of the word. Joy, forgiveness, love, hope. But people must pass that stage, for goodness sake. And then when we put many churches, they still stuck there, nappies, crying, throwing tantrums. And they can just get milk. And when you throw one piece of revelation out, they cannot swallow it. Because their spirits are not large enough. You will see how your spirit will increase in this place. If I throw out revelation, that you will receive it. It is not that you're going to sit here and you think, I preach at churches, we've been at churches. I just preach this salvation message and they're like, that one babysitting club we were at, you know that. I'm like, just get out of here. Let's just lay hands and we lift. You know, I mean, seriously. My number one priority is to teach you the word, to preach you the word, and to father you. Is that okay? Nepios, between 14 to 20 months of an age in the natural. This is a baby or an infant who still needs to learn how to speak, a toddler. But this toddler still wets their diapers, makes their diapers dirty, still learning, still poops and do all these things. And one who can only scream and cry when he has a need. He cannot even make his, he just cries. Those are the believers, they just throw tantrums. They come to Chris or Lawrence or Stefan, they just throw tantrums. I can't get this right. I can't get that right. No. You know, God is not hearing me. They are at Nepio stage. They need to be taken care of still. Patient. You don't give them a hiding at that time. Are you guys with me? So he doesn't look for food. He cries for mom or dad. His diaper is soiled. This type of child represents a Christian who is only capable of drinking milk of the word, such as the doctrine of unconditional love. Forgiveness comes through acceptance. When we decide to stay in this stage of development, then we will always wait to be comforted and encouraged and helped. These are the Christians at Exeter Church. They just want Pastor Leon just to come and greet them. Is it too honest now, Ian? Can I talk to you? Huh? You can leave. It's like they're just waiting for Leon just to like, how are you? How are you? You know. What do we say? You stand up. If I hug you, you are unspiritual. You are carnal. Okay, not for all. Some I hug because I like you. Okay? I hug, it's carnal. If I shake your hand, you are soulish. Okay? Or wave, you are soulish. But if I walk past and I just wink and I carry on walking, you're spiritual. I don't know if somebody are grabbing on that. I'm just teaching you to come so that the church doesn't go in Exodus and leave. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the way to bring people up to maturity. So Nepio, so Padion is between 3 and 12 years. And actually, this is a toddler preteen who represents an immature Christian, a child. The word Padion comes from the verb Padio, which means to train the child. This is where you begin to discipline a child now. This is a child who is being trained to be obedient. Once they've gone from the word, like now they're going to the school of discipleship, January, they're getting revelation. Now from there, we begin to discipline them, train them up. I'm not speaking of beating, but in a good way, pressure. This is a child who's being trained to be obedient, diligent, and respectful to authority. In the same way, our Heavenly Father disciplines us in order to lead us to obedience because He loves us. The same applies between spiritual fathers and sons. You know, let me just check something quickly. You know, there are certain people. They come in church, and it is just bad attitude of the bad attitude of the bad attitude of the bad attitude. It's like a grown person with this nappy that is hanging here, and the poop is just falling out. And I'm just using that for description. Jesus did it, okay? He said, whitewash graves, snakes, brood of vipers, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Even God says vomiting. And moan and complain. We rebuke them once in love. Gone. Another person comes and sits by me, Leon, I have a ministry. And brother, all I do is I smell smoke on the person. Like serious smoke. I'm not saying smoking is bad. But no, I want to go into the... I have my own ministry. I'm preaching around. Okay. Anyway. No, he wants to come here now for me now to develop his ministry. So I said, okay, I said, no, that's... I said, I see the call of God in you. I said, come to our church, sit, catch the Spirit, go through the process, and hey, God will take you, you know, where he wants. Gone. People don't want to go through the process. And they lose out their whole lives. Their whole lives... Doesn't matter how old that gentleman was. If he would have submitted, God would have used him. Greater than what he's using him now. Going to church of 5 or 10 people. Okay? So Technon, let's go to Technon. Is the teenager between 13 and 19 in natural years. This young man still needs training and direction, but not so much correction anymore. By this stage, he should have already learned the principles of obedience, diligence, and submission to authority. In the spirit, this is a man or a woman of any age who serves the spiritual father as a son or daughter, who carries his DNA, and who represents him in the spirit and faithfulness. This child is still immature and in need of instruction and discipline to reach a level of total maturity. Now, level 5. Can anybody say with me, Hios? Say with me again, say Hios. a mature son who reaches the age of 30 in the Bible culture. This word was used to describe the relationship between Jesus Christ as the Son of God. There are three specific dimensions of its meaning. One who has reached adult and complete maturity. One who resembles his father and carries the same DNA. Jesus said, if you see me, you have seen your father. One who is ready to receive his inheritance. When you get to this level, you receive your inheritance. You go out into your ministry. Or you go out, your business explodes, or whatever happens, but you reach your inheritance. The sixth one, after you do this, after you've become a mature son, this is, I love what I call neoniskos in the Greek. This is going one step beyond the mature son to become a warrior son. This is a young person likened to somebody in the natural 40 years who has passed the hero stage. Someone who knows the word, who effectively uses authority and power against the devil, and who has battled in spiritual warfare and defeated the evil one. We must do everything to reach this level of neoniskos. Young men of war, valiant, wise, obedient, and always ready for battle. As spiritual sons, we should know these principles. Many want their inheritance without serving the Father, but it doesn't work that way. We must mature to a certain spiritual age, maturity, apply certain principles, and possess certain qualities before God will release an inheritance to us. I'm going to be quickly, I want to read you this verse. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 1. Are you guys okay? Still with me? Okay. The best is yet to come in the last two pages, so please stay here. I'm giving you just keys. This is just the beginning. Next week we're going to go much deeper, and the third week we're going to go much deeper. Okay. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 1. It says this. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Say with me, whom you love. God is after the thing you love. It just happened to be money. Take now your only son, whom you love. All the spirituals. No, I don't love money. But every day you're praying for money. God gives us money. So, take me now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abram rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Say young men. And Isaac his son. There's a difference. You have young men, and you have sons. And he split the wood of the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. I can preach just on this morning. He saw it from a distance, and Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad, my son, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. I want you to get this. If we are not a son, we can only go to a certain height with God. And then we'll see from afar off the place of destiny. And there God has to separate those who are sons or those who are servants. And say, those who are sons, you come with me. And we're going to go to that place, sacrifice, and we will come back. The promise was on the mountaintop. Come on, are you guys with me? Sons goes further. Those who are not sons, who are members or visitors or they can only go to a certain height. I want to go all the way with everything that God has. Listen, even as I speak to you right now, I might be a father of this house here. But as I'm standing as a father of this house, I am still a son to a father. After we become a neonoskos, I didn't put this on you, then you become a pater, father. In the spirit, then you can begin to father people. Come on, are you guys with me? You'll have an anointing. Not every pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist is fathers. They can have that to teach people and so on, but they don't have a father. A father anointing would want to take care of people. A father anointing would sometimes want to see how are you doing. You know, I want to, if you don't have money, let's see how we can help you. Let's see how we can do this. I would. That's a father anointing. It's like it's your own children. I can feel when I know that somebody is not here or hasn't been here for quite some time. I can know it and I can feel it. Oh, yes, sorry. We add qualities of a true son. You guys should help me out here. Okay. So they couldn't go that distance. And he says, me and my son will go. So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Please take note, Abram took the pressure and put it on his son. And he took the Abram took the fire and the knife in his hand. And the two of them went together. For Isaac, it could have looked like Abram was doing all the nice things. Fire preaching, signs, wonders and miracles, pioneering with a knife. And Isaac just have to carry the burden and carry the pressure. These are qualities of true sonship. But Isaac spoke to Abram, his father, and said, my father, he said, yeah, my son. He said, look, the fire we have, the wood we have, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So the two of them went together. And Abram said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. As you have that sentence in front of you there, are you guys with me? That word, my son, you'll see comma. I want you to remove the comma out of that. In the Hebrew, the comma is not there, okay? I want you to remove it and read the sentence with me. Listen. My son, God. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is God? So God is saying, Abraham is saying to his son, with the voice of God, my son, God, will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Abram was prophesying 4,000 years into the future. Come on, are you guys with me? He says, my son God will provide himself as a lamb for the burnt offering. And when they got to the top of the mountain, there wasn't even a lamb, there was a ram caught in the picket in the bush, which means that God, he was tapping into the crucified lamb. Christ was crucified before the foundations of this world. How many of you know the Apostle Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives inside of me, because I have been crucified with him. How many of you know that verse? Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. I have been crucified with him. When was he crucified? Before the foundations of this world. Which means that you were crucified with him before the foundations of this world. Which means that your spirit man existed before the foundations of this world. Ah, there's nobody catching it. Somebody think it's heresy. Am I saying everybody will go to heaven? No, I am not saying that. I'm just saying there's time taken out of the equation. Are you guys with me? Are you learning something or not? Okay, so the two of them went together. We'll be finished now. Then they came to the... I think it literally means that, like... Okay, so... Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abram built an altar there and placed wood on it. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, Isaac could have gotten off much easier. That was a test for Isaac. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Listen, this is a very powerful portion of Scripture that speaks of sonship. Let's look at these things. Point A. A true son carries the load and burden for the father. Isaac had to carry the wood while his father had the fire and knife. A true son goes together with his father in unity and agreement. A true son trusts and believes that the father hears from God. Isaac had the ability to quickly remove himself from the altar, but he had to trust his father. A true son lays his life down for the vision of the father. The father's vision is realized by the sacrificed lives of the sons in the house. Good sons become good fathers, and bad sons become bad and abusive fathers in the household of faith. I wrote a few points here that I want you really just to catch it. I'm going to quickly through it. Revelation of honor and importation. How to receive importation. Listen, the word honor has been misunderstood. I'm not going to go through all of this. But go for me, read for me there on your page 6 at the top. The main meaning of honor is this: to be highly appreciated, honored, valued, and admired, not only with words, but also with obedience and financial material gifts. God teaches that honor expressed with words, but not with actions, is not considered honor. Honor is the free will choice that originates in the heart and cannot be forced upon someone else. We honor in three ways: through our words, through our obedience, and through our finances/substances. If any of these are missing, then there is no real honor. It is our responsibility to honor our natural parents and our spiritual parents. We should not wait for our parents to reach old age before honoring them. Let us not forget that above our natural and spiritual parents, we should honor our Heavenly Father. What is the law of impartation? I'm going to close off with this. The word impartation is an apostolic term and one that is very important for us to be acquainted with. Once we understand its meaning, we'll also understand its importance of receiving impartation from others. The word impartation means the following. It means, impartation means this. It means to share wisdom, to share grace, to impart wisdom, to impart power, and to impart authority. That's what it means. Impartation. To give a share of what you have of wisdom and grace and power and authority. Romans 1 verse 11, Paul says, I've longed to come and impart some spiritual gift to you. In this church, there'll be impartation. In this church, there'll be impartation. If there is not, I am not a man of God. How can I receive impartation? I want you just to, I'm going to close over this. How can I receive impartation from my spiritual father, or from a man of God, or from a minister I'm following, or a leader? How can I receive impartation from their lives? Number one, through recognizing the mantle that is upon them. That I understand that there's a mantle upon them. I understand God's hand is upon them. God is using them in this area. God is using them in that area. God's hand is there. When I recognize it, it's the first step to beginning to receive impartation. If I cannot recognize it, I cannot get impartation, okay? So this is when I realize that God has chosen him to be as a minister over my life. It is also important to understand that anointed men and women have weaknesses as well as strengths. I have a lot of weaknesses. Therefore, we cannot expect that person to be perfect before welcoming them. This is the person who will take us to our inheritance, the one whom we must learn from and follow. That person is the vessel God will use to pour the anointing into our lives, and the one who will lose our purpose and destiny. Many don't receive impartation because they allowed familiarity to enter into the father and son relationship. I'm going to say it again. Many fail to receive impartation because they've allowed familiarity to enter between the father and son relationship. Familiarity is the killer of the anointing. It's an enemy of the anointing. Familiarity is an enemy of the anointing. Listen, familiarity is one of the greatest enemies to impartation, which may cause us to take lightly or to disrespect the mantle anointing upon someone's life. You know, sometimes I'll go and prophesy, or minister, I'll walk down the lines and I'll stand by somebody. I understand there's different cultures, there's different ways of bringing up. I'll prophesy over Stefan and he's just like, stand up. Stand like this. I must now prophesy over him. He's already closing his spirit. There's other contact points, I'll speak to you later. Now close, stand like this. Now I must prophesy over him. But he's thinking, what the hell are you going to tell me? So then I can push and get a name. Okay? But anyway, so what I usually do, I just go, bless you, brother. And I go on. He thinks, wow, I have been blessed. No, he ain't received nothing. Nothing. Then I can get to another person and I take them and, I don't know, give me a stand like this. But they open. It's like we connect instantly because he knows that I can prophesy, or he knows that he can receive something now. And he pulls it out of me. That is by recognizing the mantle. Now, number two is through honoring the mantle. That's what I live by. Anointings that I want, anointings that I desire, that I've imparted. Even not just impartation, even gives the lifestyle of a person into you. Honor is demonstrated verbally and materially through obedience and submission. The Bible demonstrates the power of honor when God affirms that if we give a glass of water to a prophet, we'll receive a prophet's reward. Let me close off with this. The third way to receive a mantle is through serving that mantle. Serve in the house. Find out where there's things to do in the house here. We have so many, you know, over weekends we work here. The guys were here till 3 last night. 3 a.m. Just morning. 2 a.m., 3 a.m. this morning. Last night we worked through the night. You know, we really do work hard to get this services up and running. Always ways to serve. The anointing comes on a servant. The Bible says that greatness is locked up in a servant. One who is serving. Any person who serves, I see this greatness. Somebody else might have all the money in the world. They might have talents and gifts, but they don't serve. I know God cannot even bring it out of them. Are you guys with me? Say with me, serving. Elisha served Elijah. serving causes our pride to go down and all that stuff. Did you guys receive something this morning? I hope this notes is not boring. You're not going to find it anywhere except for somebody except for somebody that copyrighted my stuff and put it in a book and sold it. So you can just cut that, okay? So it just means it's so good, it needs to be copyrighted. Copied, paste with grammar mistakes and everything. Okay, so this is part one. Can all of you stand to your feet for me? Just raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. I so want to minister to people in the morning, but we are so restricted with time. I wish we could have 5, 6, 7 hour services. But in the evening, you know, it's more open, more free, and we can minister. And tonight, forensic prophecy, we're going to burn debts. We're going to burn it. Those who have brought it last week, those who are bringing tonight, we will burn it. And God is going to move. God said to me, financial deliverance. This Sunday, next Sunday, financial deliverance. Let me just say it like this. Many times people, as you stand with your hands raised, they are confessing, God, I want this house. God, I want to be rich. Da, 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 da. They're confessing, but they have nothing to back up their confession. How do I get something to back up my confession? When I have sown a seed, or I've given something to prove to God that money has no hold on. Listen, money is the only God. In the book of Isaiah, God says, there are no other gods higher than me. There are no other gods like me. I am the only God. Then in the book of Matthew, Jesus is saying, listen here, you can either serve God or you can serve mammon, which means that now God elevated mammon to being a God. And when we give, when we have a giving nature like God, we prove to God that He is God in our lives, and that mammon does not control us, that mammon has no hold over us. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. And that is why I know that many of you have given so greatly in this work already. You have given so greatly, and every seed that comes in here, you better be assured, it is in the will of God, the work of God. I am not just a little pastor starting a church. This is a work of God. This is God that has spoken to me personally. And you will be blessed. Tonight, when we burn those things, you can with confidence say, I have sown a seed. There is force and backup behind my confession. That I believe and I trust God for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then we're going to have prophecy. We're going to have what God is going to touch people's hearts with that love. When I've seen that happens, every person breaks down weeping. When His love comes in, just raise your hands. Church, say with me, Heavenly Father, we love You. We worship You. We adore You. Holy Ghost, ask it. Holy Ghost, change my life. I receive, say it again, say, I receive everything You have for me in Jesus' mighty name. Give Him a praise offering, church.